On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, UK basketball comes to an end. Daughter Dearest, Logan, Mars and the Space Cows, and Millennial Drivers.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra. I have a podcat. I have a podcat.
You do have a podcat on your lap. Well, yesterday, our beloved Kentucky Wildcats lost
to North Carolina. Dang it.
Last second shot. Damn it.
Yeah, that shouldn't have happened. That should not have happened.
Well, it does. Hey, go ahead. I mean, the rest of the country, here's your chance if you're a sports fan. If you're not, just skip this part. But just pile on. Just revel in. Kentucky got beat. I've seen it on everything out there today.
No, all right. First off, you can go back and listen to our podcast from early in the season. We were just grateful to get into the tournament. Like, we really didn't play that well all through the year. And this team really pulled together during the tournament, and it was great to watch them, like, come alive.
It was fun to watch them grow.
Yeah, it really was. And they did so good that basketball game. They were having such a rough game. Several of the guys were not hitting their shots. It was kind of heart-twisting, wrenching, awful to watch. And I know North Carolina wanted it even worse. But it still hurts to see those guys lose when you've been watching every game all year long.
Sports are just, I mean, they have, I mean, if you're into them, you're into them. But they can be awesome. I mean, there are times that anybody has to admit that somebody that pours all that time in the weight room and the gym and these hard-ass practices, I mean, it's not like us going to the gym.
No.
I mean, these people push their bodies to the absolute limit.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's emotional. Here's one of our freshmen afterwards. I want you to see this and listen to this. This is Fox, DeAndre Fox. Yeah. Let's see here.
And Karen, yeah, this isn't the locker room. I look like guys don't care. Fuck you. I love my brother, man.
Oh. And you have to keep in mind, and I've said this for a long time, especially about our young players, they're babies. Those guys are at most 18, 19 years old.
Yes.
They're still little boys. They may be 7 feet tall, but they're 7 foot tall little boys.
Well, this is DeAndre Fox just pouring his heart out.
Yeah. He's crying. He's loving his brothers. I mean, and they have spent more time with each other than they have anybody else this year.
And that's Bam Adebayo beside him, a 6 foot 10, just a monster of a person, just bawling their eyes out.
The shot just playing back and forth in my head. It's going to be difficult to get over, but I know I got to.
I think it does my heart good to see men express emotion like that. It does.
Yeah, it is nice. And those kids had a great run at being at UK. These are kids that are going to probably go pro next year. But, man, it was fun to watch them this year. One shot away, or
maybe
2 points.
Maybe that'll get one of the three at least to stay. You know, I'd
you
love
never
to.
Know.
Yeah, they want to see him win.
Yeah. So that's fun. And here's another little thing to go along with that, little fun.
And a game that featured two institutions.
Take that off there. A little bit of basketball funnery. Apparently, Christian Laettner, if you like, anybody likes UK or knows anything about UK, knows who Christian Laettner is. The whole state of Kentucky hates him because he hit a last-second shot 25 years ago, by the way. Tuesday was the anniversary of that. That the same game. It was the game to go to the Final Four.
Uh-huh.
And so Christian Laettner reached out to this Luke May guy by Twitter and says, this is Christian Laettner to the guy that hit the shot against us. His, uh-huh. his name is Luke May. And Christian Laettner says, Luke, my son, may the force of number 32 be with you. Hashtag UNC downs the Cats. Hashtag the shot lives. That motherfucker still just dabbing it in there.
Douchebag.
That's kind of fun.
Well,
so the whole thing is Christian Laettner welcomes Luke May to the Kentucky Killer Brotherhood.
All right.
And they're saying there's not a lot of things that, because Duke and North Carolina are rivals too. They are yeah. in the same conference. They're very close schools. They're just a big rival too. And
yeah.
the whole thing of this article is like, there's not a whole lot of things that North Carolina and Duke have in common, but basically it's
beating Kentucky.
Beating us in this game and hating us and all that yeah. stuff. So.
In case that was my sound effect for a bird there, by the way.
And then there's a few tweets from, of course, Kentucky fans. And here's a, I hate Christian Laettner. And then underneath of it, I hate Luke May. So Luke May is going to be the next.
Yeah, it still did not like twist my guts the way that Wisconsin game did.
No, it was. The Christian Laettner thing was much different. This Luke May dude, I don't mind. I mean, he played a good game. He seemed like a good kid.
Uh-huh.
This Christian Laettner was the most despicable human fucking being that ever played. I mean, he was just so fucking cocky.
Was he like
and
the
arrogant? Ah,
was he like the trip everybody guy this year?
He was, honest to God,
more annoying.
Five times more annoying than that. As far as just being just such a jerk to everybody. And to relive one thing about that damn game earlier,
over and over. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, earlier in that game, before he hit that shot, one of our players, somehow they end up, you know, scrambling on the floor for a ball. And one of our players ends up on the floor. And as everybody else is getting up from kind of this pile, Christian Laettner literally hard, not talking a funny little fun thing to do. He literally stomped that dude right in the chest as he got up. And our guy, this is the one of the key parts of that damn game.
Uh-huh.
That damn guy, like, just kind of laughs it off. He stands up and then just laughs it off. And somehow the referees do call a technical.
Uh-huh.
And we shoot two foul shots. But any time, that was an immediate ejection from a game. I mean, it's not even a question that gets you thrown out. Well, it didn't get Christian Laettner thrown out. And looking back on it, if our guy had just went at him and started punching or whatever,
mm-hmm.
our guy would have been thrown out probably, but then so would have Christian Laettner. It's just one of the million little things of that game. If mm-hmm. you could go back in time, the guy's name was Aminu Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. And he just shook it off and was able to walk it off.
Yeah.
Man, what is it with Duke assholes, by the way? Like, you've got the guy who, like, this is Sparta. Like, he fucking Mortal Kombat kicks people this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that kid was incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, so Kentucky lost. There's a few little funny things about it. But that guy also, his little reference in his thing is they both wore number 32, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just great.
You can see the side-by-side picture in the article you found. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got beat. We got beat by a better team. Dude hit a great shot.
Good well, I think them. The Mays guy... He doesn't seem like that bad. He doesn't seem like a bad guy. Like I can't hate him. He doesn't seem like a bad guy.
You know, I don't know where he's from, but you know, interviewing him after the game, he sounded kind of hillbillyish.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
really?
An accent. I bet he is from North Carolina. He's somewhere Appalachian-y. I'll guarantee it.
Oh, well, good for him. So, another reason not to hate this guy. You know, I already said I didn't hate him. I can't. I mean, he just didn't seem like a bad dude. You can watch a basketball game and pick out the jerk on each team.
Well, yeah, North Carolina's had a great team. They just did. They have a great damn team. And
they're probably going to win it all. But my brother Josh and I are both rooting for Gonzaga. They're our default who we're going to cheer for.
Yeah, right. We got Gonzaga, South Carolina, Oregon, and North Carolina. I'll root for the other three, not that because they beat us. It's just they've won enough championships. I don't want anybody else to get close to our number of championships. None of those other people.
I knew when you said that was blah, and it cracks me up.
None of those other people have probably ever won a national championship, so they'd be all right if they won one. We'll give them one.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody else.
Not for North Carolina, because they're too good.
No, you're right. We went to a friend's house to watch some of these games.
Yes.
And we don't have kids.
No. And this experience made us really happy that we don't have kids.
You know, I guess you kids, things can be so awkward sometimes. And I don't know if parents who have kids that are acting and making things so awkward, do they understand most of the time or do they not? When their kid's being inappropriate or being a jerk or whatever.
I think it depends. I think if they're parents our age, probably yes. But I've seen a lot of parents with younger kids and their kids are just absolute demons. And they're like, little Johnny, now don't do that. Little Johnny, one, two. Yeah, I don't know. The younger kids growing up right now, their parents seem a little bit less like parents.
I can hear people just screaming through the microphone. If you had kids, you'd understand, blah, blah, blah. Maybe.
Possibly. Maybe.
I'll acknowledge that I don't know. I don't have kids. But I'm 47.
I'm 44.
We're at the age now where our friends and people our age have, like, young adult kids. Like, they're over 18. They're out of high school.
Yeah.
But where do you even start with this? Let's tell some of this story.
Yeah.
We go over to our buddy's house to watch the ball game. This is on Friday. His daughter is there with her boyfriend, and she's like 20. As we walk in the door, how would you describe her boyfriend?
It looks like a Borat type skit where he's trying to be a white rapper.
Yes, that's Ali G.
Okay.
Yes, the Ali G show.
Yeah.
He looks like the dude from the Ali G show, except he's not making fun of that look.
That's
his look.
Look. Yeah.
So, and the guy's like 6'6".
Yeah.
So he's like
and skinny. He's like 6'6 and 150 pounds.
As soon as we walk in, and do you think they always act like this, or is it just because we were there?
I honestly don't know. I kind of want to ask.
Like, as soon as we're in there, the girl and her boyfriend, the girl in particular, like, oh, is this your, I think we said something like, you know, we introduced ourselves. And somehow it came up like, I don't know, somebody came up like, is that your boyfriend? Or yeah. She threw it
no,
out there,
No, she
maybe.
Threw it out there, and she's like, this is my Zach, or this is my ex.
Yeah, this is my friend, but he's also an ex-boyfriend, and then her mom interrupted and said something like, well, you know, they're friends at this point. And she's like, yeah, mom.
And he's my lover.
And he's my lover, too.
And
like, it's her mom and dad.
This is within 4 minutes of us walking in the door.
Right. And, this
and
is not,
I am a total stranger to right. this kid. I think I've met her one time.
I've only met this kid a couple of times. It's certainly nothing where this child, well, I say a child, she's 20 years old, where this 20-year-old would feel like comfortable around us to say that.
Like, I sleep with this guy. Like, it's assumed if you call him your boyfriend-ish that maybe that's going on. You don't have to announce it. Just
right.
Public service announcement there.
So that was odd. So then me and her dad go downstairs to watch the ball game. And we leave her and Ali G and you and her mom upstairs.
Yeah.
So we later, Ali G comes downstairs. And that's awkward because him and the dad aren't talking. And I don't really notice it at the time, but I just notice Ali G's talking to me.
Yeah.
And the dad's Ali not.
Ali G.
Well, it's
forgive
just
me. That is, yeah, it is. That's exactly who I meant.
Then later, the daughter and mom come downstairs, And she, again, just keeps instigating with her parents, right?
Yeah.
This weird little poking.
And she's kind of just a notch above normal conversation. She's loud.
She apparently has a pet rabbit.
Yeah, because she went and got it and threw it on my lap.
Right. And her parents, they have two dogs. One is a, what is it?
Beagle, Pitbull. Jack Russell, Pitbull mix.
Yeah. A Pitbull, Jack Russell mix. You think that thing wants to chase rabbits and dig holes? That dog would destroy a rabbit in a second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and she goes and gets the rabbit that's like 2 months old, pretty much tosses it into my lap. So it's already scared. So it's like scrambling everywhere. Thank God I had a pet rabbit. I know how to hold it.
After everybody in the room had told her,
Don't
go get the rabbit. We got dogs down here. Don't get the rabbit. Hang on. I must have hit something there. Oh, well, it's fixed now. Anyway, yeah, after everybody telling her, don't get this damn rabbit.
Yeah.
And she couldn't help it. She's like, I want to go get it. I want to go get Bunny.
Yep. She went and got the bunny. Tossed it in my lap. I managed to get it under control and calm it down because it was terrified.
And it should be.
Its heart was racing. So, I mean, you can feel it when you're holding them. I mean, their hearts just race when they're upset.
Yeah, it should because it had a dog like circling in front of it, just dying to get to it.
I'm basically pushing the dog off with my legs as I'm holding the rabbit with my arms. Right. It was weird.
And then her mom's holding the dog back. Everybody, now it's a weird situation. If this rabbit gets out of your lap, it's dead.
Yeah. I mean, so I have to hold on it. Yeah. Hold on to it.
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah.
All right. So, that's just a weird, 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 weird.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have acted that dumb when I was 12.
And then as she was getting ready to leave, because she wasn't staying for the whole game, apparently, she was going back to college with Allie G.
Who, Allie G is not in school either, by the way, so.
Right. This girl's parents are pretty affluent. I mean, they're in the medical field. They're
doing great. And she's dating a manager for a fast food chain.
Which, you know, if that's your thing, fantastic. At least the guy's working, this and that. But,
yeah. But,
you know, if you're.
It's just adding up to weird while I'm there. I'm kind of looking at her and looking at him and looking at her and looking at him. It's almost like she's bringing him around to torment her parents. I did that at one point. I brought home a guy that I wasn't even dating just to torment my parents. Because after that, anybody I dated was better than him.
On the way out, she mentioned getting her prescription filled.
Yeah, she was. She went on and on and on about first her birth control pills and then her Prozac.
Yeah, like overly on and on about that in front of us and her parents, and it was just so awkward being around her.
Yeah.
So, next day, we watch the ball. So they leave. The next day, I'm working out at the gym, and her dad comes in. And, of course, we're talking about this. And he said, well, did you notice Allie G didn't say a whole lot while we were downstairs, didn't you? I'm like, well, now that you mentioned it, like, I guess not.
What was going on, man?
Yeah, so I can tell he's wanting to open up. So I'm like, yeah, what happened? He said, well, Allie G and my daughter got in a fight at 2 in the morning upstairs and woke me up. And so I'm awoken. I awoke to this fight going on.
Good.
And he says, this is the dad saying that I heard my daughter say, get your hands off me. Don't touch me anymore. And then I heard Allie G say, you're just being a bitch. So he heard that.
Yeah.
And then he heard his daughter again say, I'll tell my dad if you touch me again. So at this point, dad walks in the room.
Yeah.
Now their boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were supposed to be staying in different rooms. That's just their rules of their house, which is normal.
Which is normal for.
But at this situation, they were in the same room. They weren't fooling around. Apparently, he didn't catch them having sex or anything. He just was in the middle of this fight. So the dad, what else would you say if you heard your daughter say that? Of course, he said to the guy, Allie G, he said, look, if you touch my fucking daughter again, I'm going to kill you.
And believe me, Dad could ball him up into, I mean, Dad's a lot older than he is, but Dad's in good shape.
That's right. It'd be like that Nolan Ryan highlight of an old man just kicking the shit out of a young man.
Yep.
Is what it would be.
It would be. It would be.
And then, of course, he's, to the dad's credit, he also told his daughter, like, look, quit this fighting. Both of you go to bed. You can settle it in the morning. That's it.
Yeah.
So he didn't totally let her off the hook either. And the dad told me, too, by the way. He said, I totally know my daughter's crazy. So I know it's not all Allie G's fault. So he said that the next morning.
Yeah, which needs to be acknowledged. I appreciate that he can see that clearly.
So that was nice of him to self-aware that his daughter's crazy and is driving this guy crazy. But like he said, at the same time, when your daughter is saying for somebody, don't touch me again, you got to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And they're in the same room when they're supposed to be in different rooms.
Yeah.
So I think he handled it well. But he said the whole next day that guy was staying, that he didn't say a word to him the whole time. And while we were there, then I noticed as I thought about it, like, yeah.
He's not
He didn't say anything to him now that I think about it.
But he didn't act like he was necessarily afraid of him. It was almost like mad at him. Like, how dare you
speak
to me that way.
I don't know. It was
weird. And God, she hung all over her dad, like, uncomfortably as they were leaving.
It was awkward.
It was weird.
To watch again. Yeah. This is the daughter. And when you say hanging all over the dad, I mean, he was in a recliner and she kind of snuggled up to him like a 5 or 6 year old girl might snuggle up to your dad, but not what a teenager, 20 year old girl.
Yeah, you're, it's weird as a teenager, like
out of the corner of my eye from where I was sitting, I couldn't see 100%, but I could catch little glimpses and I could see out of the corner of my eye. His daughter, again, snuggled up with him in this chair in a, I hate to say this, but it was in like a girlfriend type position.
It was.
And it was awkward.
It was.
I'm not saying that they had anything sexual, but it's awkward when you see anybody in that position of a
that isn't
boyfriend-girlfriend position.
Pre-puberty.
Right.
It just, and it's weird because as females, maybe this will change eventually, but we're so acutely aware of sexuality at puberty and beyond that I don't know. There's certain lines with your male parent you don't cross.
Again, I don't have kids. Maybe if we had kids, they were 20 years old. I had a daughter 20 years old. She would just hug on me, and somebody came in the room, it would look just like you were hugging on me. But I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm going to be honest. I don't think so.
No. I mean, it was an uncomfortable line that, like, we had to come home and discuss because it was just weird and weird to witness. Because we're married to each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever snuggled like that in front of other people, have we?
Probably not. I don't remember it. So even that is a bit of something, a bit of public.
I mean, we're kind of not super expressive in public.
All you people that have kids, you are so entertaining to us at times.
Yeah.
There's times your kids are annoying as fuck.
Yes.
And I try to take it as it's a journey. Just sit back, take notes for the show, and, you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's just a mystery. Sometimes, we just don't get it. And I just don't, some of my friends take videos of their kids having hissy fits and post them on Facebook for everybody to watch. And I would be just like my mother in this.
I would
scoop the little kid up. I would leave my grocery cart sitting in the grocery store, and I would take that little ass to the vehicle, and depending on the severity of it, either bust it right then and go home, or like put the fear of shoe or something. I mean, my mom would pull her shoe off and spank us with the
hit you with
the foot of it, not the heel, the foot of it. And it stung. Like, she knew how to just sting you. It didn't leave a mark. It wasn't child abuse. I want to make that clear, but she knew how to sting your little fanny and set you straight. And you would go back in the store and behave yourself.
I get it. Some of these parents, you know, the kid leaves a double flusher in the commode, they've got to put it on Facebook. I don't know. You know?
I can't believe you just said that. But you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. So, again, that was what happened to us at our buddy's house, watching the UK game. That was UK game we won.
Awkward eyes.
That was a game that we won. That was against UCLA. Maybe we need more awkwardness for that second game.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Kind of glad we didn't have it. Kind of glad.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right. We saw a movie, too, this weekend.
We saw a couple, but we saw one that I really liked.
You'd been wanting to see this movie for a long time.
Since I heard it coming out, I've been all over this one. I wanted to see Logan. And I don't, like, I think we've seen the other Wolverine movies, but I think it's been kind of patchy and I haven't paid a lot of attention to them. I keep skipping words.
It's all right. I am too. It's all good. Well, what was I going to say about Logan? Oh, I was going to say most of our listeners have probably seen it by now.
Yeah.
But just in case, if you see it, you'll catch it on Netflix or whatever, or, you know.
Yeah. If you want to skip ahead a few minutes, we might spoil it for you. That's what we're, this is the spoiler alert.
I guess, but I'm not going to spoil too much.
Okay.
I mean, no, I'm not going
to
spoil
anything.
Hank
wants you to listen is what he's saying.
Right. No, I'm going to be careful not to spoil anything. What do you think about the movie?
I loved it. Like, seriously, 9 out of 10. It was, I can't think of anything bad to say about it.
Well, I can't think of anything too bad. The only thing I will say, there was a part of the movie I was afraid they were going to go into, like, Peter Pan. A bunch of kids living by themselves for months and months in this little kid commune.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have a few older kids that were teenagers that might could have helped run it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the kids in this little kid commune are like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally wouldn't be able to fend for themselves. I mean, they could because of their superpowers, but I'm just saying they couldn't.
Emotionally,
you know,
yeah.
Right. So that was the only chink in the armor. Like, I wish they had had a few kids that were like 19 and 20-year-old kids.
Yeah.
To lead that little commune.
Well, they were communicating.
But.
That's about, somebody, like, gonna, yeah.
But that's about the only thing I can find. The rest of the movie, it's very different, and we talked about this. This Deadpool has really opened a floodgate for
the
serious,
Marvel Studios.
Top level actors, top budget movies that cuss and are rated and
violent.
Every violent as you can be genre. This Logan movie, every other Logan movie, every other X-Men movie, anything to do with that has been PG-13.
And this one crossed every line and it had some funny moments. It had some beautiful humor in it. And it almost had to because it's so freaking serious, the whole movie.
It's almost like a horror story.
Yeah. There is an 11-year-old kid going primal, violent, crazy in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, cutting people's heads off and...
And carrying it back to their buddies.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some serious-ass violence in this movie.
And you know... And they opened it... All right, Deadpool opened with that great opening sequence. This movie opened with basically a scene where he didn't want to get in a big fight, but it's happening. And then it gets like completely graphic and you're like, oh. And it sets the tone for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. They started
it was
using,
beautifully done.
Oh, and they started using the F word. I mean, I'm talking... Well, you know, people have surely know the main characters in this, but Professor Xavier's in this movie. And he cusses.
Yeah.
Now everybody cusses. I mean, cusses like fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not talking minor cussing here.
No.
So, no. Yeah.
And there's the almost the running thing. Don't cuss in front of the kid.
Yeah. There's in front of kid cussing. There's kids dying. violently. And I don't mean, again, I keep saying this, I don't mean like...
they cut the scene and you don't see it actually happen. I mean, you see blood and guts flying.
What was the movie that there was three of them, The Mockingjay, all that?
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. I'm not talking Hunger Game violence either. Like you said, where they kind of, you know, they died, but you didn't really see whatever.
Yeah.
You see people get ripped to shreds.
And there's a big difference between that. And I get it. It's for a different audience, period. It is for a different audience. The Hunger Games was a young adult series of books that had graphic violence in it. But it didn't go into gory descriptions of it. It's just.
Well, I remember when the Hunger Games came out, you told me it would probably be R-rated.
I thought they'd have to go that direction, but if you rewatch it now, anytime they always cut the scene, they always cut it so you don't actually see the arrow go in or the sword.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all fine. There needs to be something for everybody, but, I love it that they're starting to cater to some movies that have a plot like Logan or a plot like, what did we just say?
Deadpool.
Hunger Games. A plot like Hunger Games, but it's for adults.
Yeah, I'm so sick of PG-13 movies all the time. It doesn't have to be. And I'm not saying that I want gratuitous violence and boobs. It were boobs and Logan.
Yeah, there was even a random boob shot. But when a movie is, when the main premise of a movie is something violent, then show me violence. If you're going to make a war movie, make me a war movie. The special effects are there. If I'm there to see a war movie, all right, I'm prepared to see people get blown up.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So it does aggravate me when I go see a movie that's the main. Now, I don't care if it's supposed to be a kid movie, then no, keep it kid movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying throw R-rated violence and R-rated cussing just for nothing.
But when the plot warrants it, please don't dumb it down. It's like, dumbing it down.
Like, I don't see how any action movie is not rated R anymore. I don't see how any of them are. Any action movie, there's people getting shot, there's people with swords, there's, you know, all kinds of car wrecks, and you would think any action movie, 99% of them should be R-rated at this point.
But they don't. They cut the scene, they don't show the blood.
Yeah, just how it goes, I suppose. But anyway, if you want a movie where they don't do all that, and it is R-rated,
and it has
Logan's
a great
movie.
Plot and a touching story. Logan is a good one. And
yeah, it's very touching. It's a sad tearjerker. There's main characters die. It's a very interesting movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm glad we got to see it. I've been kind of whining about it. We went and saw Kong first.
When they throw in one more thing, and then we'll get off of this.
Uh-huh.
But it was a very, very interesting take on, like, superheroes getting older. That's the take on this that nobody else has done. They kind of did with Watchmen a little bit.
Yeah.
But for sure, this is basically, superheroes or whatever you want to call what Wolverine
Professor Xavier are. The X-Men.
It's those people getting older and dealing with getting older. And I have to say, there's parts of it I could kind of relate to. You kind of feel sorry when you see Wolverine pull out his glasses because he can't see so well. I'm like, yes, I go through that. Like, I can totally empathize with this character.
Well, this movie was made for adults. It was made for adults. It was made for people who read the comics in the 90s.
Yeah. And like, when Professor Xavier has, when he's an older dude and when an old person with his powers has a seizure, then what does that do around you? Like, things like that. That was pretty creative.
Yep.
To think about stuff like that, I thought.
Yeah. It was. This was just a heartwarming, gut-wrenching movie. If you like a superhero movie at all and know anything about the X-Men, it's just a good movie.
Yes. And, you know, there's one thing I left off. We're going to have to go back one thing because I've got to at least, we've got to at least mention this.
What?
At the last second when that North Carolina dude, that Luke May hit mm-hmm. that last second shot, what would you have done if the TV had went off at that time? Like, we would have killed somebody. I'd have thrown something through the damn TV.
You wouldn't have?
I mean,
I would have looked on my phone to find out what was going on.
Well, if you lived in Columbus, Ohio, apparently.
Hey! You know why I never played?
The dumbass TV station there, last 30 seconds of the game, cut away for some weather announcement bullshit.
Oh, my God. So there were some Kentucky fans and some North Carolina fans ready to kill.
Yes. And of course, so, yeah. So, if you lived in Columbus, are you kidding me? It was for, like, a tornado warning. And it was black screen, and it lasted, like, for 30 or 40 seconds and was totally the end of
and
the game.
And it was the end of the game. It was a tornado warning, though, dude. It was a tornado warning. It's a tornado.
You'd think there'd be some way to kind of talk over it or something.
It was a tornado warning.
I'm like this guy, this Brian Joyce, all capital letters. Are you kidding me, CBS? You have to be kidding me. WBNS in Columbus, Ohio, just cut into the UK versus UNC game with 30 seconds left to go. So anyway.
See, I would have just got the app on the phone real quick, or I actually have it on my iPad already. So I would have figured out what was going on, seen it. I might have seen it.
You'd have,
3 minutes too late, but
you'd have thought they could have just like ran the words across the bottom of the screen, maybe.
You
or
wouldn't
something.
Have been paying any attention to that. What if it was a real tornado?
Well, sacrifices have to be made. That's what I would say. Tornado schmado, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A tornado wouldn't dare interrupt a fine basketball game like that. That would be way
Hank,
too rude.
You are way too obsessed with UK basketball.
That would just
and to be perfectly
way
honest,
too
if
rude.
I don't watch another basketball game for another 9 months, I'll be perfectly happy.
Yeah, that'll give me time to re-energize the batteries.
Yep. I need a break.
This is a joke that has been going on ever since Donald Trump even mentioned the word building a wall. This has been a joke in every comic store forever, every comedy whatever.
Comedy club.
All right, he's going to build a wall. Who do you think's going to build the wall? Mexicans, blah.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they really are going to build this wall, the Mexicans. And who is the Archdiocese of Mexico? Is that what they call their president?
I think that's I think it's the Catholic leader.
You know, I would think so, too. So I guess it is. Well, anyway, I guess the Archdiocese. He is calling all the companies in Mexico who are bidding on this wall, by the way. Apparently, uh-huh. bid's going out. He's calling them all traitors, and apparently it's a big thing in Mexico about if you're a company, like ethically, should you be willing to build this wall? This is the craziest thing.
Because they're not even going to have American companies build their own freaking wall.
Apparently.
You've got to be shitting me.
Apparently.
It's going to be a Russian company. I'm telling you, how much are these politicians going to take before they do something about him?
This is just crazy.
To remove themselves from his crazy.
I don't know. According to this article, it's a quote. It's not two or three. It's more like 500 companies, in quotes, from Mexico that are specifically expressing interest in Trump's proposal to build this wall. For them, the end justifies the means, in quotes. So apparently there's like 500 or more construction companies in Mexico that are, I don't know, they've expressed interest, whatever that means. And then the Archdiocese, yes, and it is Roman Catholic Archdiocese, yes.
Yes.
Said, basically he's saying, yeah, they're traitors. Traitors, quote, traitors to the homeland is what he's calling them. So, We're going to cause a civil war. Maybe that's how this will work. You'll cause a civil war in Mexico, and there you go.
Anyway. All I can do is shake my head and roll my eyes. It's only contempt.
It's only estimated to cost approximately $21 billion, apparently. 2,000 miles of some sort of fucking wall. Okay.
That's the dumbest thing.
So there you go. Apparently Mexicans are going to build the, apparently they are.
Well,
they're bidding for it, and they're causing some conflict in their. The Catholic Church is not happy about it.
Yeah.
Traitors. That's what they are. Traitors is what they say. But if Mexicans build that wall, you know they're gonna build all these tunnels underneath. They'll have little escape hatches. They'll have all kinds of things they'll rig up to get people over. Might be kind of awesome. Might rig up a giant slingshot to just sling your ass over.
I'm sure they're probably already doing that with their bad hombres that they're sending. Jeez.
So, okay. So I thought you might like that joke has actually come to fruition.
You know, you're a long way from taking bids and ever doing anything.
Oh, and for sure. I just thought it was interesting that, again, it's causing a riff in their own country about bidding on this wall. So this wall thing is it's divisive for both countries. It'll be like the Gorbachev thing, like, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Like someday there might be somebody standing at the Mexican wall saying something like that.
Yeah, but it's going to be like our crazy people trying to get south or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is. Our government's a freaking joke right now.
It's crazy. Well, we can go to Mars.
It looks like cows have already been there farting.
You like that space cow?
Yeah, I like the space cow.
That's a great picture of the space cow. Well, apparently they're posting this in, Nautilus. I started to say it was on my science. There's a science magazine I listen to or watch. But this is Nautilus. Anyway, this posted by Sulushi. I'm not even going to try. And Christopher Weber. Some really smart dude and Christopher Weber. That's who that's who posted this. All right. Well, anyway, here's the deal. They have found incredibly higher amounts of methane in the atmosphere of Mars than A, should be expected, and B, there shouldn't be any there at all. So now they are really fucking really some serious stuff about Mars. Is there underground microbes, or maybe there's geological activity under the crust that nobody knows about that's spewing out some methane?
Yeah, I think methane is so simple that it can come from not animal or not life sources. So.
Well, most, according to this, and right here, I've got it right on here. It says on Earth, 95% of methane is biological in origin.
We have a lot of biomass, though.
We got a lot of cows farting out there.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, they think that this is actually a very, very good sign of there seriously might be some microbial. There might be life on Mars.
Well, that'd be awesome. I'd love to find that out in my lifetime. I want to know. I want the science that says we are not alone in this universe. I want the science.
Well, I tell you, this is actually getting pretty damn close. I mean, it is, really. This is seriously kind of close. We're joking about it. Yeah, we're talking about space cows and farting space cows, and that's just fun.
Yeah,
but
real science is but good stuff.
Yeah, but the serious part of this thing is, and these studies have come out before, but according to this article, the scientists didn't publish them because they were so controversial, or they knew they would be controversial, and they knew that these numbers seemed wrong. So they purposely waited for some of these other missions to go and other people and other samples
to be taken to confirm.
Yeah. And I was reading through this, how they've, how they've tried to accommodate for any contamination of like Earth atmosphere that could get in their little contamination bottle. Basically, they have a bottle that on the Mars rover or on some of these Mars missions that basically collects the atmosphere, shoots a infrared light through it, spectrometer, and hell, you just see how much methane's there. And they do it 4 or 5 times to make sure that any Earth atmosphere that happened to be in that bottle when it came there is gone.
Okay.
And then replace it with Mars atmosphere, and there is certainly a lot of methane that nobody knows why. So I think
space cows visited and farted.
I think they may be underground space cows. That could be the best thing ever. That's really awesome.
That is pretty cool.
It is. And they were saying, like you were saying, even if it is underground methane, they were saying that, you know, if the planet biologically, is that the word? Geologically. If the planet geologically is more alive under the crust than they think, with like a, they said to have methane, you almost certainly have to have a source of heat. And they named all this stuff, and it's exact. And then they say at the end of that little speech that, by the way, that is exactly the ingredients for life, for bacteria. So,
well, yeah, we've got crazy bacteria that grow in like completely oxygen deprived, crazy hot volcano. I mean, just nutso places. That'd be awesome.
That would
be awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah.
So take that. Science wins.
Yeah. They thought Mars was basically geologically a dead world, and methane can be produced by geochemical processes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, here it is. Especially at warm, hot hydrothermal vents in the ocean floor known as lost cities or black smokers. This process requires a large source of geologic heat as well as liquid water. This happens to be the main two ingredients of life. There
Woo-hoo!
You go. So maybe under the crust there's some life, some bacteria minimum. Oh, that would be awesome. That would just be phenomenal. Who knows? Even if it is just, you know, nobody would care.
Yeah.
And science nerds like us would care.
We would think it's great, and then the flat Earth people would be like, "We haven't left Earth. We haven't gone to Mars."
First of all, they wouldn't believe we'd gone to Mars, and even if they did believe it, like, well, that's just a one cell thing. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah, they'd have to find some way to make it fit with their beliefs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is exactly why this week I joined the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and we have a we should have Science Magazine coming to us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that is great.
Like, it's been griping my ass so bad, and we've complained about it on the podcast so many times. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start putting my money in where my mouth is. And
that's wonderful.
I'm just... I'm so sick of the stupid. It hurts. The stupid burns.
Well, we can help some. We get out in the community and volunteer on some committees and do some stuff. There's, you know, we do shape our own environment, and we do a great job of that.
We're trying.
And we can do even more of it if we want.
We're trying. I sure am trying. You sure are too.
You're doing great. I have... Well, you already see the thing here.
Breakthrough into
Who do you think did you see it?
I saw it already.
Damn
you
it.
You just saw it for so much evidence for your hatred.
Guess what this study shows are the most reckless drivers on the road.
I actually don't believe this one.
Millennials.
Who wrote this article?
You little bastards. You're always getting under my
skin. Right. Define millennials. I don't even think you understand the term all the time.
They're ruining everything.
What is their definition of millennial?
This says between ages of 19 and 24.
Okay.
For their study. I think technically, doesn't it go from like 19 to basically 30, really?
Well, I think that, I don't know, but I think they use that interchangeably with like, anyone. I think that they keep saying millennial and it always means young adult 19 to 24.
Okay. Well, we already had a millennial story with the daughter and Allie G.
Okay.
So that's a millennial.
You just hate millennials so bad.
I want to like them.
No, you don't. You just look for evidence for they suck.
Well, I seem to find a lot of it. I have to say, I don't see a whole lot of mid-40s men bashing here on a regular basis, but I see articles.
Because we keep that to our special sites.
That's right, because we're the ones writing articles. Exactly right. Well, anyway, apparently of licensed drivers here between ages 19 and 24, first of all, the whole thing is kind of summarized here. I don't want to play the whole video. Well, I don't know. I could. Let's just play this. Here's what.
I want to pick at this, though. I'll tell you.
All right. That's perfect.
And outdoor allergies with Allegra.
After we hear Allegra.
Yeah.
Allegra.
I'm going to say that the worst drivers are always aged 16 to 25. Like always it's going to be. Teenagers.
And from Ohio. Oh,
now
my
that,
God.
Now that is true.
If you're an Ohio millennial driver, God bless.
Just stay out of your way.
Stay off the sidewalks there.
Have long been deemed some of the worst drivers on the road, but it turns out young millennials may be even bigger highway hazards. A new report released by the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety says millennials between the ages of 19 and 24 are the most likely to engage in risky behaviors while behind the wheel.
I believe that.
Our brains are not developed until 25, and we do stupid shit like try to.
Okay. I believe it's always been. So,
yeah.
So you're just saying young adults instead of millennials.
Yeah. I'm saying that 10 years from now, it will still be people 16 to 25 who can't drive.
Whatever we're calling them at that time.
Yeah.
Whenever we're calling them younglings then.
Yes. Okay. It'll still be younglings and they'll still be bad drivers because they don't have the seasoning, the experience to be a good driver yet.
That's valid.
We're talking about texting and driving, speeding, and running red lights. In fact, 88% of young millennials surveyed admitted to engaging in at least one risky behavior while driving in the past 30 days.
88%.
Well, you know what?
Who admitted it?
All right.
That means
seriously?
99% of them are doing it.
Seriously, they haven't learned to lie yet because I guarantee you that around here, ages 35 to 55 are engaging in the same freaking risky behavior because I can see them when I'm driving with them.
But they, you're right. These young people, they're not lying to the surveyor yet.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
A majority of drivers said they are concerned about road safety, but some drivers in almost every age group considered at least one of the risky driving behaviors acceptable.
I believe that. How and people do believe it's acceptable. It's that whole arrogance bullshit. Well, everybody else, they can't text and drive, but I can.
But, Hank, we would both have to confess here right now, speeding was one of the risky behaviors, and I know for a fact we both speed.
Well, I do, and that's true. And that is a bullshit one because really everybody does. Anybody that says they don't speed, that is bullshit. I mean, some of these streets, the speed limit is freaking 25, 30 miles an hour. I know good and well there's nobody in America that drives a speed limit all the time. It's impossible.
Oh, I'm sure that somebody does.
I don't. You couldn't.
I'm sure that if they know that that is the speed limit, there's somebody with some kind of personality disorder that feels compelled to do that. There is at least one person in America, and I would bet good hard cash on it, Hank. We could find somebody that always, like they can't. Like, there's something personality-wise that won't let them speed.
Yeah, you're probably right. There's some Rain Man out there that managed to get his driver's license. You're right. 5 o'clock Wapner time. You're right.
According to AAA, more than 35,000 people were killed in car accidents in 2015. That's a 7% increase from
the
previous
graphic.
Year.
Well, it's good. It's a good commercial. Maybe it'll wake people up a little bit.
It would be great, but people still do it. And honestly, I think I would almost, no, I'm going to say this. I'd rather see a millennial text and drive than my dad text and drive.
Oh God, that's a nightmare. I mean that made my heart palpitate just thinking about that.
The 60 plus,
the choice.
I see them driving all the time texting.
Oh God, don't say that.
They do, Hank. They do.
Well, that's just terrifying. Is what that is. Absolutely terrifying.
So I disagree with the whole premise of this article. I don't know what sources they cited. I just think they're bullshit.
Well, you can take it up with Haley Fitzpatrick.
All right, Haley.
At Yahoo Style.
Whatever.
I don't know what this has to do with style, but whatever. But Petra is not impressed. She says, no thank you to this study.
I want some hard data.
Well, you're right. When we were young, yes, we've done it too. I don't want to this be... You're right. That's a good way to look at it. I guess every whatever we're going to call 19 to 25 year olds are going to be
young and dumb. They're always going to be young and dumb because that's.
You know, I was with some buddies having some beers the other night, and they were talking about, like, you know, just how things have changed, and some sort of the better or the worse. But they were bringing this up, and of course, I lived in a totally different town, 2 hours away from where all these guys grew up. But everybody had the same story. They were like, do you remember in high school how there was always a few kids whose parents would let them drink in their house and would let you come over to their house and drink? And all of us like, yeah, like, can you believe that people like that was socially halfway acceptable? Like it wasn't out of the question.
No, uh-uh. There was somebody. That? Yeah. Yeah. There. And I was never allowed to go to their house.
You weren't, oh, no. Poor thing.
My dad was a teacher and Pentecostal. Are you kidding?
Well, I was going to say, how's he know? But I guess people in the neighborhood know, I guess.
Yeah, like, I think everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. If you go over to John Doe's house, they're the ones that let their kids drink and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, my dad heard about it all at school. So like, he had students that would. I swear, I never got by with anything because his students would tell him and he would know before I got home from school.
Well, that's just maybe that still goes on. Maybe there is some weirdo in every school that gives kids underage alcohol. And it wasn't even as like, as I say that, like nowadays you'd think, well, that's a sexual thing. He's trying to get somebody drunk and
no,
play
it
with
was
them.
A, it I wasn't? Would rather my kid got drunk here in my house where I knew he was safe than out there driving and getting hurt somewhere. I mean, I know what was going on because eventually, like, this is funny, but eventually I dated one of those people whose parents would buy alcohol. But at that point I was already like a senior and I didn't want to drink at that point.
Well, it wasn't, I don't think it would be so weird to have a little bit of alcohol for your kid, like wine. Like if you have an 18-year-old son and you want him to drink a glass of wine or even have a beer with you watching a ball game, that's whatever.
Son or daughter.
Son or daughter. Oh, yeah, son or daughter. Yeah, I just say son because in high school, the situation, I never saw it as with a girl.
Okay.
There was always some guy. But anyway, but the difference is when it was that you brought other people. Like that was the part that really was not very, that shouldn't have been happening.
Was it because they wanted their kid to be popular? Like now as an adult looking at this, I'm like, what juvenile nuttiness would make somebody do this? Like, and the only thing I can think is my kid's not real popular, so I'll let him have a party.
In my high school, it was John Cooper, and everybody went over to John Cooper's house and drank at like 16, 17 years old. And
wow.
Watched dumb movies. Like we'd rent a VCR movie of some dumb whatever and go to his house and literally drink beer and watch that movie with his dad.
Wow.
And drink enough beer to get drunk. I'm not talking just like a beer. I mean, like his dad would buy all kinds of beer, as much as you wanted.
Wow. No.
And then half the time, people drive home.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No, it wasn't.
That's not cool.
But I did it. I mean, I'll be the first to. It was a little holler up in the middle of nowhere. And this guy lived maybe 3 miles from my house. And I'm not, there's no excuse for it, but I mean, as a 16-year-old, what do you, you know?
You got kicked out.
You think it's the coolest thing in the world? You're like, holy shit, you can go down to John's house and his dad will let you drink and you watch movies.
Was this kid popular?
Oh, yeah. Very popular. Yeah.
Wow.
Funny kid.
Was it because you could drink at his house, or was it just?
I think that was just part of the package. He was just a cool, fun guy, always joking. Kind of like our friend here.
Quack, quack.
Yes. Much like him. Very much like him. Imagine him as a young guy. Mr. Quack.
Mr. Quack Quack is an alcoholic, so.
Yeah, and maybe John is too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering, like, how does his life turn out?
If your parents set you up for that, I don't know. But I'll have to say, in the whole scheme of things, I've wondered about this. I'll think about this now, even. Was that safer? First of all, it'd be safer not to drink and drive, first of all. I'm not saying that in the least bit. But was it safer that that kid lived 3 miles from me, out in the middle of nowhere, and I drove intoxicated 3 miles to get to my house? Or if I'd been out at some club or party on the other end of the county and had to drive 20 or 30 minutes on four lane highways and all that stuff, would that have been of those two?
I think the 3 miles is probably safer,
but it still shouldn't have. Yeah. I'm not.
And how drunk
that.
Do you get as a 16-year-old? You know, I don't know because, like, I did not drink until I went to college at all.
I don't know. And looking back on, like, you're right. I don't. And again, I have to keep saying this. I'm not saying any drinking. Get my microphone working. I'm not saying any drinking is acceptable, but you're probably right. It wasn't totally falling down, can't get in your car type drunk. We probably had 2 or 3 beers. And we were probably a little fuzzy headed, like, oh my God, we're so drunk.
Yeah.
We're at John's house and we're drinking beer and watching this movie with his. This is amazing. And it's probably nothing. Or very
little. I had the opposite experience. I did not have any exposure to alcohol until I was a sophomore in college, and it was just on. Like, I didn't know
how
to control it whatsoever. It's
the,
like,
governor wasn't working.
Oh, Montezuma tequila, natural light beer. Like, drink the tequila first and chase it with the beer and just go as hard as you can until you puke out the window.
Whew.
It was not a good night.
I did that some in college, too. Just silliness. I don't know how I did that. I don't know why I did that, looking back on it. It was to fit in and to lower the social inhibitions and all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was. It was at fraternity parties. And some of it wasn't even fraternity parties. Like I said, it was even in high school and whatever. It was just a, you know.
Everybody else is doing it. Are you going to go jump off a bridge? Yes.
Kind of. But, you know, you have fun when you are drunk. It does lower some inhibitions. But, you know, the next day, it's just wrecked. Your whole next day is ruined. Or it was for me. I'll never understand how these alcoholics
just keep going back.
God. Do they just not? I think I even read this somewhere. I don't think they get hangovers after a while. I think that's just basically a constant sort of state. And so they never really get hangovers. I think I've read that. Because if you got a hangover every time, who could live like that? No matter,
I don't know.
You would think, no matter how bad you're addicted, if every day, the next day you woke up miserable, that'd be at least half your life. You know, like half your life would be, woo, I'm drinking, I'm having fun. The other half would be total misery.
Yeah, eventually you have to realize, I'm miserable half the time. Why am I doing this? It can't be.
I don't think they get hangovers. I don't know. Who knows?
I have to drink pretty hard to get a hangover.
You know, I just don't
ever want it anymore.
Me either. I don't want it either. Screw that.
No. Uh-uh.
A few beers, a few cocktails, something like that is fine over a few hours. But
yeah, spread it out. I don't. The whole.
God, that's a big selling point for weed, for God's sakes. No hangovers. No hangovers and no calories. per se, but there's going to be calories unless you have the willpower of a god.
Yeah.
But still. Tell them where they can find us.
At hillbillynerdtalk.com. We have our own website.
Share our show. Share our show.
Yes. Hank says share the show. You can find his Facebook and Twitter on there. He's pretty Twitterific.
Yeah, just look up hillbillynerdtalk.com.
So check us out on there.
And all those you can get to from the website, too, by the way, of course.
That was links. What I was explaining.
Gotcha. You're explaining. I'm trying to explain. It's getting late.
We're interrupting each other.
Yeah, it's silliness here. Silliness. After one drink. I had one boozy coffee here.
I did, too. I had one. I found the most magnificent, disgusting diet drink in the world at Walmart. Bad. It's some kind of coconut lime UK blue. But if you mix...
It looks like the color of the people's eyes on Dune when they're on.
It does.
When they're on the spice.
Yes. Well, it is the spice, especially when you put lime rum in it.
I bet that would be good.
It's stellar.
I want to kind of hate on it, but it honestly is pretty good. I tried it. And you're right. It's in that generic writing that all the Walmart brand bullshit
is. I was like, this is magic. I have to have it.
You know, and I wonder why do they not hire a professional? It has to be on purpose because, you know, Walmart's smarter than this. You know, they've got a team of scientists that we'd already be living on Mars if their scientists were working on it. But why don't they have art and labels that are professional looking?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they do it on purpose, so you'll see it and know it's
like,
a cheap
it's
label
rib,
and it's
but,
cheap.
All right, I'll be honest. There's a lot of the generic stuff that I like better than the name brand stuff. Now, there's the other way around sometimes, too. It's a trial and error. You've got to figure out which is the good. But I can still remember, and this is back when I still ate gluten, so it's been over a decade ago.
A decade-long memory.
Yes. The knockoff version of the like Kraft shells and cheese, you know,
good.
The kit that has the packet of cheese, that is the best macaroni and cheese in the world.
Really? And it's Walmart brand?
It's the Walmart brand. It's the knockoff generic. Yes.
Is that it? The Great Value or is that a different one?
I think it's the Great Value.
I think it's the
now,
Great Value.
This has been a decade ago, so things may have changed. But give me the knockoff generic every time. I don't, it just must have had more lard in it or something.
You know, there are some things that are just so ingrained, good marketing, but like it seems like I have tried it somewhere and I don't drink much cola. The only time I ever drink Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or any Diet Cola is when I'm mixing a drink with rum, but it seemed like a long time ago, and like you're saying, it's probably 10 years ago or more, somehow, somewhere, I tried like the knockoff cola brand from Walmart, like the Big Value cola. And I remember thinking like, this is bullshit. This tastes exactly the fucking same as Coke or Pepsi or anything else. And it's probably a quarter of the damn price.
Well, all right. But you are not a regular cola drinker.
Right.
I can tell you this right now. When Coke changed their formula and came out with...
Oh, I know.
My mother lost her shit.
People lost their minds.
Okay.
I get it.
She was ready to pack her stuff up, drive to Atlanta, and like...
Protest
with them. It was the end of the world.
They were ready to burn Atlanta again.
Yes. Yes. Because Coke can't do that.
Yeah, that was certainly a faux pas.
Man, that was a fuck up is what that was.
but you're right. I don't drink it that often, but you're right. Some of this generic stuff, most of it is just shit anyway. It's just sugary shit. And whether this sugary shit tastes a fraction better tasting than this other sugary shit, it's all shit.
Yes, it
right
is. It is,
it really
and my
is
Blue Magic coconut drink is too. I mean, it's fluorescent colored. You can taste the chemicals in it, like they sting your tongue, and it's still damn good every now and then with some rum.
Yeah, I'll try.
Lighting.
I'll
like drinking it. Poison.
I'll mix a drink with it, and sure, it would be phenomenal with rum. And I tried. I tried your drink. It is great.
It is. It's like, oh, wow.
So there you go, Walmart. There's your great value advertising for your...
damn you, Walmart.
For your coconut... What's it called?
Coconut lime... something or other. I don't know. We'll have to take a picture.
There can't be a lot of coconut lime 2 liter bottles of bright blueness out there.
Do not blue.
Which, by the way, what the hell does blue have to do with lime or coconuts?
I don't know, but it caught my eye. I'm embarrassed.
They're just fucking with us now.
So embarrassed.
They're going to start making like rainbow colored drinks. Like, oh my God.
Don't,
it's a rainbow.
Don't shake it because it'll all mix
it's
up.
It's a rainbow. Oh my God. Oh well, anyway. You ready to sign off?
Everybody have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next weekend.